Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. And I have to say, I don't have many heroes. Most of them have been shot. John Lennon, JFK, people like
Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro.
He just shot everybody else.
Basically. But one who's still alive for the time being is Tim Price from Price Value Partners, and the author of what has now become, I mean, it's the rebel's book, isn't it, really?
It's the event of 2016.
Right, yes.
You had Brexit, you had Trump, now the launch of this book.
Yeah, and how do you feel about that? I mean,
all I can say is it was a cathartic exercise writing it, because we've had a pop at basically everybody. So bankers get a chapter to themselves, central bankers get a chapter, fund managers get a chapter, the financial media gets a
Bank of Scotland. Squared the circle with that.
Yes, it was a lovely story. I mean, it's
people who bought us Scotland.
who brought you the Darien project.
It cost us 50 billion in the last few years, but the biggest cost over the years has been the cost of Scotland since 1707.
Yeah. So no, I mean, there's a tremendous story via Ian Lanchester about RBS and its historical forebears. But I don't want to give the game away. So
no, you wouldn't want to do that. People should buy the book.
All good bookshops. The perfect Christmas gift. Fun for all the family.
Right, investing through the looking glass. Right, okay, let's get on to the real dish of the day. State of the markets.
State of the markets. The last few times we've been on, we've been talking about narratives. And again, just to give a plug to another author, Yuval Harari, wrote this brilliant book, Sapiens, and it's now got a sequel out, Homo Deus. But the premise of Sapiens is that the reason humanity, Homo sapiens, has been so successful is because we believe in things. We believe in abstract concepts. So you can lead a people out to war and potentially die. You create religion, you create belief systems. Most of what we invest in is illusory. It doesn't have any tangible substance.
So does the EU come under that?
It would do, because it's effectively a cobbling together of nation states that themselves don't really exist. But the thing about narrative is we're all suckers for it. I think the reason is, from an evolutionary perspective, human beings hate uncertainty. We would rather grasp at a narrative, even if it's utter nonsense, than live wrestling with the uncertainty. So I'd say the narratives we've had this year that have been proven to be palpably, disastrously incorrect. The first one was Brexit. We're never going to vote for it until we did. The second was Trump. American voters are never going to vote for Trump until he gets elected. And I think the third one, arguably, certainly the stock market's taken this, American stocks have taken this, which is Trump is effectively the second coming of Ronald Reagan. So you're going to see tax cuts, probably. You're going to see huge spending, so huge, to use a Trumpism. And already the bond market started to get a little bit sort of freaked out by this. So my suspicion is, my sense is, I defer to you on the technicals, but it seems to me that if you take, say, the 10-year US Treasury, the benchmark bond for the world, for credit globally, it's broken effectively support, price support effectively, in not just short-term, but medium-term, longer-term charts. In other words, the bond bull is probably over now.
Oh, well, the only problem with that theory, which I've been sort of watching for quite a while, is that, unfortunately, the bond market is not a proper market.
No, true. But then what is? Everything's being...
It doesn't actually matter where it trades, because...
I take the point. I mean, everything's being manipulated, so I grant you that. But nevertheless, even with a massive suppression of interest rates across the piece, yields have blown up over the course of the last, 3-4 months, and given an especial surge upwards on the back of the Trump victory. So my suspicion would be, or my advice, I guess, would be, by all means, relative to interest rate, markets, equities still represent something closer to fair value, with a caveat there's huge price suppression and manipulation going on, courtesy of the central banks. But in the bigger picture, I think the people who are going to be most disappointed in the months and years to come are those people who flooded into expensive defensives, if you like, the sort of the mega cap consumer brands, because they're overpriced, they're really overpriced. I'll give you an example. So,
not Unilever. That's a quality company.
Well, let's choose a name at random. GlaxoSmithKline. So they made something like 1.9 billion in profit last year, but they paid out 3.8 billion, I think, in dividends. That's clearly not sustainable. So there's an awful lot of companies out there that are getting by either through buying back stock at absurdly expensive levels or borrowing to pay dividends. Whereas in a market like, say, Japan, and I think Japan is maybe the at the moment the recipient of the big false narratives. There was a great piece by Leo Lewis, I think, of the FT earlier this week, and it pointed out, he cited a Japanese equity manager who'd just been on a marketing tour in Europe. He'd had 28 visits, and he'd heard 28 negative stories about Japan. Otherwise, he came back with his tail between his legs. That sounds to me like the kind of bell they ring at the bottom of a market. So a great contrarian indicator.
Isn't there one? I mean, this is something which just occurred to me now. But you've got the situation where you might have bond yields going through the roof.
Not in Japan, because the Bank of Japan's pledged to keep them at zero for the foreseeable future in its pursuit of 2% inflation.
Right, but in other places, you have bond yields, you know, on the market wherever that is going up to 3% or whatever it is. But you have central, you know, the base rate at 0.25.
Sure.
So it's just equivalent. It's just like saying, well, you know, it's snowing at the North Pole, but it's actually 13 degrees centigrade.
Sure. I think
so you have things which are totally out of alignment, but they stay out of alignment.
I think that's consistent with the thesis that we've seen peak central banker. So in other words, the belief that central bankers know what the hell they're doing, is now starting to fragment.
Well, speaking of fragmentation, we've got to fragment off into the distance. Tim Price from Price Value Partners and the author of Investing Through the Looking Glass. Thank you very much for coming in
today. Thank you.